We're speaking with Joshua Green, Holocaust history expert, and he's written a new book called Justice at Dachau, The Trials of an American Prosecutor. All right, so give us the basics of the book here, Joshua. What you put together?
In January of 1945, a young lawyer from Birmingham, Alabama, was invited by the judge advocates to come to Germany to prepare the largest legal enterprise in recorded history. This was the trial of operators of Hitler's concentration camps. More than 1,600 were awaiting trial on the grounds of the former Dachau concentration camp. Those trials successfully led to the imprisonment, the guilty verdicts and imprisonment of war crimes criminals from the Nazi Party. However, the big scandal of this period in the post-war years was that because U.S. priorities shifted away from punishing Germany to winning Germany's allegiance against the new common enemy, namely Soviet Russia, all of those convicted Nazi war criminals were let go in clandestine reversals of sentence.
Is that right?
Yeah, but it's one of the greatest embarrassments in our military history, and practically no one has ever heard of these trials.
Wow. So who was the lawyer?
William Denson was a God-fearing, handsome legal scholar born in Birmingham in 1913. He taught at West Point, then went on to have a distinguished legal career in his dad's firm, and was invited to Germany to become chief prosecutor of the Dachau war crimes trials. I never met the gentleman. He passed away about a year before I was called by his widow, Hushi Denson, to help tell her late husband's story. Everyone's heard of Nuremberg, but no one's ever heard of these trials.
How about that? So how many guys were we talking about here? 100-something?
Well, Denson himself successfully prosecuted the accused in what were known as the parent trials. Those were the four initial trials of the operators of the camps liberated in the American zone: Camp Dachau itself, Camp Flossenbürg, Camp Mauthausen, and Camp Buchenwald. And there were a total of 177 accused in those four trials, and all were found guilty as charged.
Man. We're speaking with Joshua Green, Holocaust history expert, and he's written a book called Justice at Dachau, The Trials of an American Prosecutor. So whatever happened to those guys who were convicted, jailed, and then ultimately released as the U.S. Tried to seek Germany's alliance following World War II?
Gordon, most of them died quite comfortably in their beds. A few of them, such as the infamous bitch of Buchenwald, Ilse Koch, who had been the wife of the commandant of the Buchenwald camp, was retried by the German government in subsequent years for crimes that were outside the jurisdiction of the American tribunal at Dachau. Otherwise, it would have been double jeopardy, and she would not have been standing trial. But the jurisdiction of the court was limited to crimes alleged against Allied nationals, so French, American, British, and so on. Denson, when he found out that all of these, that 3 years of his life was being unceremoniously just tossed out the window, including Ilse Koch, by the way, who was a sadistic person who used to beat prisoners and was the person accused of collecting skins from the bodies of the victims of the camps and commissioning lampshades and gloves made from their skin. When he learned that she had been one of the people let go in this series of reversals of sentence, he contacted the German government. And Denson said, try her again for her crimes against the German nationals. In other words, the German Jews who had been victims in these camps, which was not part of the jurisdiction of the American Third Army tribunals.
Oh, okay, yeah. Jeez, what was Mrs. Denson's reaction as relayed by her husband, I guess, when he started to learn that all this was happening?
Well, there were two Mrs. Denson. Bill Denson was married just prior to leaving for Germany in 1945, and when he married a New York debutante, and when she realized that her husband was going to be traipsing around Germany prosecuting former Nazis, she sued him for divorce. And so he was kind of on his own in every sense of the term there in Germany at a party, a holiday party in Munich, which is only a few miles from the Dachau camp. He met his future wife, Huschi Denzin, who was a German aristocrat by birth. She never had much appreciation for anything that Hitler was doing. And when they met, I asked her, I said, what did you guys talk about? You know, here was this tall, good-looking American who's prosecuting Nazi war criminals, and here you are, a German national, so I guess it was, you know, kind of meeting up with the enemy there. I'm not sure it was quite a legal thing being together at that party. She said we talked about the importance of integrity in law as in all things. And Gordon, I have to tell you, this is front page news. I mean, what happened to Dachau really reflects the importance of integrity and character in the execution of the law. The law is vigorous, it's robust, but it's not invincible. And it depends on men and women of good character for its proper implementation.
Who was to blame for the release?
History, in some measure. I ask myself this question a lot. Is that what should have happened? You know, when there's a betrayal of the rule of law, as happened in the case of these dismissals of Nazi war criminals, we weren't there. We don't know what the pressures were like. If the Soviet Union is looming, you've got Stalin's forces, you know, storming west, knocking over one country after another. Under the circumstances, I guess it might be understandable that the U.S. wanted Germany's allegiance in a united front against their new common enemy. But at the same time, we pay a terrible price. You know, every time we betray the rule of law, whether it's, bombing Syria without international approval, or whether it's bending the law for whatever the political necessity may be, whether it's the McCarthy witch hunts or the suspension of constitutional rights after 9/11, or going back to the Alien and Sedition Acts of the 1890s, or the internment of Japanese Americans. We've done a lot of things that are embarrassing, and we've always lived to regret it.
How did this ever stay quiet, the release of these former German officers?
Well, it didn't at first. I mean, Denzin went on a rampage. He rallied the press to his cause, and there was a huge hue and cry in all of the American papers and radio for a redress of this grievous betrayal of law by letting all these Nazi war criminals go free. The review committee decided, there was a subcommittee hearing, and they said, Bill Denzin did a great job. These sentences were righteous. They should never have been reversed. But the army official said, well, it's too late. We can't now reverse the reversals. That would lead to too many complications, and they were allowed to stand. And the information was buried, basically. You know, it had this flurry in the press, but those were years when people really didn't want any more obsession with the Holocaust and with the war. They were looking to get on with their lives. And so it's lain dormant. Bill Denzin died in 1998, and on his deathbed, he wanted this story told. So my great pleasure was to have a chance to tell the story of justice at Dachau, and I've discovered a new hero in Colonel William Denzin.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.